Today is the 16th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather and take the next step forward together. And that next step forward will lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel, where we are very much about to get to know David and the intertwining of David and Saul's lives, now that David has killed a giant in the Elah Valley, a giant named Goliath, and now David is famous, overnight celebrity, and he has a lot that he has to learn to deal with. And so, let's pick up the story. 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 5, through 19, verse 24 today. David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he was successful. So Saul put him in charge of a group of soldiers. All the people approved, as did Saul's officials. As the army was coming back from battle, when David was returning from striking down the Philistine, women came out from all the cities of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful music, with hand drums, and with noisemakers. The women sang to each other as they played, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul became furious because he resented this statement. He said, "They have credited David with tens of thousands, but to me they have credited only thousands. What more can be given to him but the kingship?" So Saul eyed David suspiciously from that day on. On the next day, an evil spirit from God overcame Saul, and in a frenzy he prophesied inside the house. David had a lyre in his hand. He was playing as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand. He hurled the spear because he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped from his presence twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had departed from Saul. So Saul sent David away from his court and made him a commander over a unit of 1,000. So David led the army out to battle and back again. David was successful in everything he did, and the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that David was so successful, he was even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he had led them out to battle and back again. Saul said to David, "Look, here is my oldest daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as your wife. Just be a strong warrior for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "It won't be my hand against him, but it will be the hand of the Philistines against him." David said to Saul, "Who am I? And what is the status of my father's clan in Israel that I would be able to become the son-in-law of the king?" When the time came that Saul's daughter Merab was supposed to have been given to David, she was given to Adriel of Mahola as his wife. Michal, Saul's other daughter, loved David. When they told Saul about it, this situation pleased him. Saul said, "I will give her to him so that she will be a snare for him, and the hand of the Philistines will be against him." So Saul said to David, "Today you have another opportunity to become my son-in-law." Saul commanded his officials to speak with David privately and to say, "Look, the king is delighted with you, and all his officials love you, so you should become the king's son-in-law." Saul's officials spoke these words to David's ears, but David said, "Does it seem to you to be a trivial thing for me to be the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and not highly regarded?" And Saul's officials told him what David had said. So Saul said, Tell David that the king desires no price for the bride except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, for revenge against the king's enemies. Saul intended to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When Saul's officials told David these words, David was very pleased to become the king's son-in-law. Before the deadline, David got up and went out with his men and killed 200 men of the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins and counted them out for the king so that he could become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave his daughter Michal to David as his wife. Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that Michal, his daughter, loved David. So Saul was even more afraid of David, and he was hostile to David all the time. The commanders of the Philistines were regularly going out for battle, and as often as they went out, David was more successful than all the other officers of Saul, so his name was highly regarded. Saul told his son Jonathan and all his officials that they should kill David. But Saul's son Jonathan had great admiration and respect for David. So Jonathan told David, "My father Saul wants to kill you, so be careful tomorrow morning. Settle down in a hiding place and conceal yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will talk with my father about you. I will see what the situation is, and I will tell you." Jonathan spoke favorably about David to his father Saul. He said to him, "The king should not sin against his servant David because he has not sinned against you, and his actions have served you very well. He took his life into his hands when he struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel. You saw it, and you celebrated. Why then would you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?" Saul listened to the advice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." So Jonathan called David and told him about all those things. Then Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he served in his presence as he had before. Later, war broke out again. David went out and fought against the Philistines and inflicted a severe defeat on them, and they fled from him. An evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. David was playing the lyre. Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear, but David evaded Saul's attempt, and Saul's spear stuck in the wall. That night, David fled and successfully escaped. Saul sent messengers to watch David's house and to kill him in the morning, but David's wife Michal told him, "If you do not do something to save your life tonight, by tomorrow you will be put to death." So Michal let David down through the window. He took off, got away, and escaped. Michal took a household idol and laid it in the bed. She put something made of goat hair on its head and covered the statue with clothing. When Saul sent messengers to capture David, she said, "He is sick." So Saul sent the messengers to see David for themselves. He said, "Bring him to me on the bed, so I can kill him." When the messengers came in, they saw that the idol was in the bed and that the goat hair was on its head. Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped?" Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I have to kill you?'" So David ran away and successfully escaped. David came to Samuel at Ramah and told him about everything that Saul had done to him. So he and Samuel went and stayed in Naoth. Saul was told, "Look, David is at Naoth in Ramah." Saul sent messengers to seize David, but when they saw an assembly of the prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing there as their leader, the Spirit of God came on Saul's messengers, and they also prophesied. When Saul was told about it, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. So Saul sent messengers a third time, and they also prophesied. Then Saul himself went to Ramah and came to the large cistern at Seku. He asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" Someone told him, "They are at Naoth in Ramah." So Saul headed for Naoth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God came on him also, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothing and prophesied in the presence of Samuel. He fell down and lay there naked all that day and all that night. Therefore it is said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" John 8:31 through 59. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are Abraham's descendants," they answered, "and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say you will be set free?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you, everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin. But a slave does not remain in the family forever. A son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because there is no place for my word in you. I am telling you what I have seen at the side of the Father. As for you, you do what you have heard at the side of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus told them, "you would do the works of Abraham. But now you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard at the side of God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." "We were not born of sexual immorality," they said. "We have one Father, God." Jesus replied, "If God were your Father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. Indeed, I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my message? It is because you are not able to listen to my word. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and did not remain standing in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he lies, he speaks from what is his, because he is a liar and the father of lying. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who of you can convict me of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God listens to what God says. The reason you do not listen is that you do not belong to God." The Jews responded, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon. On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Amen, amen, I tell you, if anyone holds on to my word, he will certainly never see death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, 'If anyone holds on to my word, he will certainly never taste death.' You are not greater than our father Abraham, are you? He died, and the prophets died. Who do you think you are?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, about whom you say, 'He is our God.' Yet you do not really know him, but I do know him. If I said I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I hold on to his word. Your father, Abraham, was glad that he would see my day. He saw it and rejoiced. The Jews replied, You aren't even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen. Amen. I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Then they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and left the temple area. Psalm 112. The man who fears the Lord. Praise the Lord. How blessed is a man who fears the Lord. In his commands he delights greatly. His descendants will be mighty in the land. The circle of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. In darkness, light dawns for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good things will come to the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his business with justice. Surely he will never fall. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear until he looks in triumph on his foes. He scatters seed. He gives to the poor. His righteousness stands forever. His horn will be lifted high in glory. The wicked person will see and be frustrated. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Proverbs 15:12-14. A scoffer does not love anyone who corrects him. He will not go to wise people. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but a sorrowful heart crushes the spirit. The heart of a discerning person seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on stupidity. Okay, so by this point now in 1 Samuel, we do see the intertwining of David's life and Israel's first king, King Saul's life, and we see why David killed a giant. And so when they were going back through their celebration, anytime the king comes to a village, anytime a king comes through a town, everybody's going to assemble to get a glimpse of the king, and it'll be festive and jumping up and down like that. That kind of pageantry still happens in this very day and age. If royalty from somewhere is visiting a village or a town making an appearance, then there's going to be a throng of people. And so this would have been true in ancient Israel. And so Saul's on this victory tour and people, the women, are singing, you know, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. And Saul is put off by this, to say the least. He wants the glory to be upon himself, the spotlight to be upon himself, as insecure of a person as he is. He doesn't want anybody else getting this glory. And so he's jealous, he's envious, he's paranoid. And so we've been able to see what that looks like. Saul has tried to kill David with a spear to pin him to the wall of the palace. And David, who's not a skilled mercenary or soldier, has had to learn to be very, very quick-footed, and he was able to avoid that. And Saul then thinks, okay, I'm just going to keep sending him into battle. Like, then I don't have to touch him. I'll kill him by the Philistines. I'll send him into situations where he's going to end up getting killed And then we can celebrate him as a dead hero. And then I can be the king again. But David goes into battle and he's successful everywhere that he goes. And so then it's like the king has to be thinking, well, maybe I need my enemies closer. And so he invites David to marry his daughter. Of course, David's poor from a poor family. He can't meet the bride price. But then he offers his second daughter, Michal, and Michal loves David. But then David's again like, who am I? You guys think this is a big deal to become the son-in-law of a king, but I have nothing and I'm from no family. Like, I have no standing. And that's when Saul's like, okay, well, just bring me the foreskins of 100 Philistines. So what he's basically saying is, David, you got to go kill 100 Philistines and bring back proof that you got rid of them. And David's probably not going to circumcise all these people. He's just, you know, he's coming back with a basket of things from the Philistine men that will display that they're no longer living and that their foreskins are there. And Saul's thinking that David won't make it. He'll die. But David is doubly successful and comes back with 200 foreskins. And so David is successful and marries Michal. And then Saul wants to assassinate David. And he wants Jonathan, who's David's best friend, in on it. Of course, we've already met Jonathan, and we know that his father, King Saul, was going to have him killed for eating honey when he was in battle and didn't know he wasn't supposed to. So we know the story there. Jonathan won't assassinate David. So Saul attempts to assassinate him again by pinning him with a spear to the wall. And once again, David escapes. And then the king sends his troops to David and Michael's home so that they can drag David out of the house and assassinate him. So we are watching an enormous amount of envious paranoia, an enormous amount of insecurity. We're watching things. We are seeing and observing that things have gotten out of hand inside of Saul's head. But then when we look at David, and really David has every reason for his life to be coming apart at the seams, he's got people all over the place watching him. He's got people waiting to kill him. Like he's being thrown into these treacherous situations constantly. He has every reason to be mad about it. In so many ways, it mimics some of the themes that we learned when we were moving through the story of Joseph. David has the world against him, it seems. He has really no hope to survive. He has one place to put his hope: utter and complete dependence upon God to stay alive. And David thrived. Everywhere he was sent, into every situation that he was sent into, he thrived. And he was not trying to taunt back at the king. He wasn't trying to get any sort of visibility. He wasn't trying to climb any rungs of any ladders. He was trying to exist and be a good servant to the king. And he was successful, even though all of the planning was to get him killed. We can look at both of these stories, Saul and David, and we can find ourselves in both of those men's lives. We can probably find examples where we've been erratic enough to be both of those kinds of people on the same day. Sometimes we do shine. Sometimes we do bring the truth and speak it. Sometimes we do it in love. And then there's other times that it looks like we're not even who we are. We don't even see the person in the mirror. Doesn't even look familiar. Like, Saul and David both knew God. They both worshipped the same God. It's just that the pathways that they were on with God were leading in different directions. Saul's insecurity, his envy, his paranoia, his jealousy was pulling him away from God. And all of his focus and obsession was on this one person, David, that he thought that he thought was a threat. David, on the other hand, had everyone against him. Everything was a threat to him. If he could live through the day, it would be the grace of God, and David knew it. He knew that God was his only hope for survival, even though he didn't understand why he was swirling around in all of these circumstances. He knew his only hope for survival was God. And we see that being poured out as we read through the Psalms. So right now we are watching two men who both know God, who are on very different paths in their lives. And may we pay very close attention to where those pathways lead, because we need to know, because those pathways still go to the same places. And so, Heavenly Father, come into this, we pray, as we continue this journey and observing Saul and observing David and learning much about ourselves and learning much about your hearts. We need to know where these roads go, and we need to know the road that we're on and where it's going. And so we confess that we can make the best laid plans, and we just don't know the twists and turns. We must depend upon you, and we do. Lead us into all truth. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home, home base. That's where you can find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app does all of that and more, and puts that in the palm of your hand, and you can get that from the app store that's connected to your device. So yeah, come on in, get connected in any way that you can. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. That is one of the categories at the website or in the app. And there are a number of subcategories in that category. Resources that are available here in the community for the journey that we are on. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that being around the global campfire is life-giving and an anchor point, then thank you humbly for your partnership. We wouldn't be here if we weren't here together, as I've often said, because that is the absolute truth. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. It's Sebastian. I wish to simply pray for us. I pray, God, that you bless the Daily Audio Bible community. I pray that you give us strength to continue to live. Help us through our personal problems. I pray that you lead us and strengthen us through our individual challenges. That you help us to pray, that you bless us with great testimonies and even greater faith in you. I pray that you give us faith. I pray that you give us to do your will. Thank you, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless us. Amen.
Good evening, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Blessed Assurance calling at 6:52 on May, I think it's the 11th Friday. And I just wanted to call. I was sitting here praising God. I live in the Midwest. and we have a drought, and we have a beautiful thunderstorm rolling through, and the rain is glorious. I praise His holy name. We have been meeting as a community, praying for rain. We've just been praying that God will break this drought, and tonight it's such a beautiful blessing to see His provision over the land. And I was sitting here praying, I thought, my dad family needs to hear this praise. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I love you all. Thank you very much. Love you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pure Heart from Tennessee, and I was calling to pray for James the teacher. First thing I want to say to you, James, is that the Lord loves you immensely. And despite of you feeling not your best because an error that you made, the Word of God says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. So that means you're no different than any of the rest of us. But just to show His love for you, the prisoner of hope, I just thought it was amazing, ministered to what you had said the very next call. And I want to say to you, for James, that I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, depth, or anything in all creation was able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So no matter what you're feeling about yourself, Jesus loves you. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, I just pray for James. We bind that spirit of depression, and I pray that you would give him grace concerning his job, Father God, that you would go before him and loose angels of God to just to minister to those that are speaking on his behalf. And I pray for his finances during this time that he's waiting and in anticipating what's going to happen for his future. And I pray for his self-esteem to be lifted high above all, because...
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Ribka in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. It's May 13th. Yesterday, I heard so many members of our community calling out in prayer for junk to treasure. And my heart is also breaking for you, my sister, and for your son and his family. It's a horrible, horrible loss. I also just cannot stop thinking about the man who shattered your family because of a moment of carelessness being on a cell phone. I just think if I were him, I would not be able to bear my life. And I pray that the Lord would have mercy on him and go and seek him out and find him. Lord, we pray for this perpetrator of tragedy that as he feels your wrath heavy on him, that, Lord, you would also remember mercy. Lord, I pray for any of us who may have been in a similar situation, in a moment of selfishness, carelessness, been on a cell phone, almost caused great harm, almost shattered someone else's life. And just by your grace, we were spared from being that kind of perpetrator. Lord, help us to be mindful of every action and the love and care we need to have for others. Lord, we pray for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Afai calling from Central Valley, California. God bless each one of you in this community. Today, I'm calling specifically to wish all mothers, those who are seeking to be mothers, those who are already mothers, those who are grandmothers, those who are stepmothers, every kind. God bless each one of you. Happy Mother's Day. God has given you a unique calling to be a mother, because in you, you bring life into the world. Because of you, you are the first ones who provide guidance, wisdom. And because of you, the world can be or is a better place. Mothers have been called to nurture, and we, all of us, have gone through the hands of our mothers, our grandmothers, or whichever type of influence that we have had from every mother figure. So, know that you have been given the greatest ministry on earth, to be a mother. We appreciate you. We love you. May God bless each one of you today. Happy Mother's Day. Daily Audio Bible family, this is our fire calling from Central Valley, California. Make it a great day.